The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The summer statement is going to be produced by ministers Jack Chambers and Pascal Donoghue, their first outing as a double act a little bit later on. It is expected that they're going to pave the way for a bit of a giveaway budget. Jack Horgan-Jones, political correspondent of the Irish Times, is trying to read the tea leaves, and it looks like we're all going to get a few bob, Jack.
I think that's certainly the case, Jonathan. Yeah, we had the Taoiseach Simon Harris arriving at Cabinet this morning, and while he wouldn't be drawn on the exact split between new spending measures and tax cuts, he did say that, look, the economy is going well. And we all saw the Exchequer returns that were published last week, which showed that tax take overall is up 9%, despite the kind of omnipresent warnings from the Department of Finance that the good time may be coming to an end. So he was indicating that, look, when the budget is published at the 1st of October, as it is now, there will be stuff for carers, there'll be stuff for elderly people, there'll be stuff for the disabled, but there'll also be an effort to put money back in people's pockets. So that's the direction of travel. There's a lot of ground to cover between here and there, though, and today's publication of the summer economic statement is one of the first and most important steps in the ramping up of that process. It can be a little bit bewildering, all the different parts of the fiscal calendar, as they call it, all the different pre-budget kind of bits of architecture. But basically what happens today is the guardrails are set for the budget. The government comes out after consultation between the two finance ministers, that's Jack Chambers and Pascal Donoghue, and the three coalition leaders, and says, here's how much we have to spend. Here's the macroeconomics. Here's how much the state is going to spend next year. And here's how much is going to be available for new measures. Now, within that, it's important to remember that the state spends many billions and billions every year on things like welfare and health and all the other things that the government does, about 110 billion. But all the political focus is going to come down on the 5 or 6 billion in new measures that's anticipated to be flagged today over the next months. And that'll be the focus of the political positioning, the jockeying, the kite flying, the leaks that we've all become so used to over the summer months. Starts earlier every year, it seems, but I think there will be, as I say, a particular intensity to it this year due to the fact that we are facing into what most people are expecting will be an election before the end of the year. So it has a particular focus and a particular inflection this year.
Yeah, and on that point, tragically for Jack Chambers and Pascal Donoghue, the first question is not going to be relating to the budgetary measures they're talking about in the summer statement. It's more to do with when the budget is going to be. Now, we've already had an indication that it's going to be a week earlier than it normally would be, because the obvious natural question will be, do they go to the country once the finance bill is passed and dine out on giving everyone a few bob?
Yeah, I think, look, that's inevitable, to be frank, and I may be proved wrong in this, but my sense of things for some time has been that once the budget is done, once that period of intense deal making that we talked about is done and dusted, people will be sitting around the cabinet table and saying to each other, what's the point in this anymore? Are we just sitting back and inviting circumstances to change against us and beyond our control, and basically removing any agency we have when it comes to actually calling the date of the election? Now, you ask the coalition leaders, and not only are they saying the government is going to go full term, they're saying it's going to go into next year. And that's an important, if subtle, difference, because there has been a suggestion that once the budget is done, the government could basically make the argument that, look, we're more or less full term anyway. A month or two doesn't make much of a difference, and we don't really need to contrive a reason to go early because we're kind of full term anyway, and off we go. They're saying next year still. So they're holding the line on that. But look, the received wisdom...
Well, no, but hang on. It's a bit subtle, Jack. They say they anticipate the government is going to go to its full term. That doesn't mean they're 100% certain on it. I mean, there's a little bit of wiggle room with the language they've used for the most part.
There's always wiggle room. These things are entirely contingent on political circumstance, and there is an even more defined contingency, which is that it is in the Taoiseach's gift to decide when the election is. It's not actually a coalition decision. So, you know, I'll be watching closely for signs of divergence amongst the coalition parties over this budget process, that they look to stake out their own identities, and how that plays into the prevailing kind of mood music between the three coalition leaders towards the end of summer into early autumn. So keep an eye out for turf wars. I mean, we're well familiar at this stage with pre-budget gambits from Fine Gael. We had Leo Varadkar's new rate of income tax the year before last. Last year, we had that multi-penned op-ed in the Irish Independent from Fine Gael Ministers of State. This year, Fine Gael again seem to be making a push around capital acquisitions tax. That's more commonly known as inheritance tax. Minister of State Neil Richmond writing about that in our own paper today. So look, that's part of the positioning of the jockeying that I talked about earlier on. It'll be interesting to see how the other parties react to that. Also, look, you know, Jack Chambers is only 2 weeks in the job, but he's not even the guy with the newest job at that meeting of coalition leaders that was held last night. Roderick O'Gorman was less than a day in the job when he sat down to that meeting. So what's he going to be doing? How's he going to be trying to brand certain interventions as green? He knows that he basically has the core green, ecologically focused and concerned vote stowed away. That's what the local and European elections showed. But those elections also showed that vote is not big enough to maintain the party anywhere near where it is. They lost half their councillors, lost both their MEPs. So if he wants to broaden the appeal of the Green Party and give himself the strongest chance possible of kind of leading that centre-left bloc, as he seems to have indicated is his desire after the election, he has to broaden the appeal of the Green Party. So how is he going to do that? These are all the different kind of dynamics that are going to be playing out over the next little while. So it'll be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, it certainly will. Look, the other side of it is they are looking at the opinion polls. There was another opinion poll out of the weekend which actually showed Sinn Féin in third place for the first time in a long time. And you have to think that the leaders of the two parties, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, they'll ask Roderick out of politeness. But I mean, they'll look at that and say, well, if we're not going to go now, when are we going to go?
Yeah, and that's going to be the pressure coming from their backbenches as well. Look, politics, to a large extent, can be defined and influenced strongly by factors outside your control. And while the government would like to take credit for the nosedive in Sinn Féin's popularity, I suspect that it is influenced largely by factors outside their control. And the message from their backbenchers, from perhaps some of their advisors, from their own teams, will be, look, you don't necessarily know that Sinn Féin are going to be in a slump forever. The cycle of politics seems to be swinging away from the Sinn Féin change message at the moment and towards, I mean, you could talk for a week about where politics in Ireland is going, but certainly a part of politics seems to be moving back. Voters seem to be moving back towards the mainstream, towards a kind of stability vote. So how long will that last?
I'm not sure I agree with you. I mean, it's mostly gone to independents because they seem to think that the independents can say things that Sinn Féin can't, particularly on immigration. So I think I have a feeling that's why it's moving there as opposed to anywhere else, and it probably means the next oil will be a little less governable than this one.
I think it can be both, Jonathan. We can both be right on this one. I think that look, if you look at the poll numbers, they suggest that 40%, kind of thereabouts, is going to vote for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and that's enough to make that a coherent bloc. Will they merge? Will they become one super party? I don't think so, because they're quite effective at speaking to different parts of Middle Ireland. But you're right, another segment of the electorate has kind of left mainstream politics in some extent and moved towards the independents. But the independents have always been an unspoken fourth large force in Irish politics for the last kind of the guts of the last decade. It's just getting a little bit bigger, and it's embracing some parts of the electorate that are sceptical or concerned about migration. You know, there is always the risk of fighting the last war and presuming that just because those are the kind of dynamics that we saw expressed during the local and Europeans, that they will be replicated exactly in the general election. We all presumed that Sinn Féin would have a terrible election in 2020 after their poor showing in 2019. They proved us wrong. And that returns to the point that I was making a little while ago, that argument about striking while the iron is hot and circumstances are clearly in your favour, because they can change so quickly. Remember Leo Varadkar, October or November, whenever it was, of 2019, had that Brexit deal from the whirl in the back pocket and had a huge polling dividend from it. Dithered, delayed, didn't make the call. You have a winter of discontent. You have a surge in saliency around housing. You have things like the RIC, the rogue waves, like the RIC commemoration. Remember that early in 2020, and the row over pensions, and all of a sudden people didn't care about Brexit or his achievements there, and they gave him a shellacking at the ballot box.
Yes, there's many's the slip between cup and lip, as the saying goes. I have a feeling that we'll be going to the polls before the end of the year, Jack, even if they're saying other things, but time will tell. And certainly today they're going to soften the ground a little bit for that election, no matter what. Jack Horgan-Jones, political correspondent with the Irish Times, no doubt writing about that summary economic statement on the newspaper later on. Thank you very much indeed for that, Jack. You might let us know whether you're going to be influenced in any way, shape or form. It's a it's always a risky thing to introduce major government policy documents in July when people are only half paying attention. But like that, it is a ground softening exercise. Don't forget, every item from the programme is uploaded as a podcast on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. You can just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.